You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Those Casual Reds show, that late United Stateside talk. I'm going to give you the sponsors right now. So the lights stay on. This is brought to you by Balorian, Manukian, and Shakirian. BMS is what they're called, one of the finest law firms in Southern California. With a 98% success rate, they specialize in PI, wrongful firing, wrongful death, bumper things, Uber things, but don't kill man things. Ask for Hike, Vahe, Ashat, Shushan, David, Ani. There's a full staff of paralegals. Get that free consultation. Call them at 747-444-4444. Tell them you heard it on Those Casual Reds. They'll give you a little discount, and you might see me in the lobby doing security and things. I'll get you up there with that crisp parking. Once again, 747-444-4444. It's time to start the show, Those Casual Reds show. Here we go on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome in, Sean. What's up, Sean from Pittsburgh?
I'm tripping.
I'm in the driver's seat today. Casey's like, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Welcome, Sean. We got our foreigner out there. Yeah, man. Thank you. I'm trying to reel all these guys in right here. So, like I said, we got Sean from Pittsburgh United. We got over here Casey. Cheese.
Wagwan. Over here
joining us in the studio today. Sinatra.
Sinatra the Red.
Hey, just like Casey
Mr.
said.
Mr. Pop It Off.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, we all know if we see you in the lobby of the law firm that it's not doing security things. Like, let's be real, man.
I don't know that what might you mean
red,
by that.
That might be a red flag, right? You see Casey greeting you in front of the building at a law firm.
Yeah, if you see Casey, they're definitely doing kill man things.
Yeah.
Kill man things.
Anyways, welcome to another episode of Those Casual Reds. As you guys see it, is it the beginning of the end for Erik ten Hag?
I'll read the comments right? This time.
Oh, boy.
This is a therapy session, as I would like to say. A therapy session for all United fans all over the world, all over the globe. This is a safe space for anyone to vent, give out your thoughts, opinions, and just your, you know, dislike or like for the team. So let's get it started. I know you guys talked this about yesterday, right?
Let's do some quick updates injury wise. It's come out that Mason Mount will be good to go to play. Kobe Mino is fine. His injury is not lingering. He'll be able to play. But there's some concerns about Diego Dolo. They're saying he's playing with a knock. So we might have to do some tinkering with that. So that's the latest news on the injury front. If anyone was concerned about injuries, Mason Mount will be fine. Kobe will be fine, and Dolo will be playing with a knock. So, sorry about that. I just want to get everybody
caught
up.
Thank you for the update. We're very glad to get the latest updates here on Those Casual Reds, courtesy via KCD Red. And just to get back a little bit on the game, we understand Casey, Sean gave some of their points last night, some of the disgruntledness, and we tried to get Cheese on a Sunday, but it looked like he was mad, big boy mad on Sunday. He did not want to discuss anything in regards to the game. So, to begin this show, let's breathe in, breathe out. Oosa. And let's let Cheese take the floor and let us know what your thoughts were about Sunday.
Big up to Mandem. Big up. A process, you know, the twatting that we received over the weekend. Very disappointing. Because, legitimately, Spurs fans trying to look at me with a straight face and tell me that they're a big side. And I'm just like, you don't even believe what you're saying. Like, you don't even believe the words coming out of your mouth right now. But anyway, here's where I'm at, Zine. I understand that the Glazers are still in charge. So we're going to be in problems. Like, I'm accepting that. Just reeling it back in. Two, Eric Ten Hag running a circus. Once you understand that, everything else will fall in place. So I'm in a good place. He's running a circus. We have clowns running up and down the pitch. Let's see what happens. We have Porto next. Let's go, boys. Let's go. Porto, wow. Here we go.
So what a difference that they make.
Barnum and Bailey, Ringley brothers. Let's go, Manchester.
It seems like your sentiment on this question we posted here for this show is a little bit more on the positive side. And we're going to get your take a little bit later on that.
So it sounds like you're saying, sorry, Jerm. You're saying it's a player issue.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm saying it's both.
And we'll save that for a little later on in the show. We'll save that a little on the show. Let's get Sinatra's take. I know we got a little bit of that raw, fresh take on Sunday. Now we had a day or two, just kind of like let that marinate.
Oh, it's not good. It's not good when it marinates for me.
Oh, okay.
You know how it is. Now, the first thing I want to talk about, we haven't even brought it up yet, is Bruno. You know, red card rescinded.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Like I forgot that.
Nothing.
Yeah, like our bad. Oops.
And you know, when I saw it live, I thought he was being a little silly because, you know, he wasn't in a position to make the tackle. I don't care if he slipped or not. He wasn't in a position to make the tackle. And we know how James Maddison does it. You know, he's going to flop over like a dead fish if the wind blows too hard on him. And so it is what it is. But the fact that the cowards in the VAR booth, the English officials
that
won't call the others out. There's a culture in the PMGOL or whatever it is.
PGMLL.
That they it's like the police, man. They're covering each other. Is there like a thin blue line they've got of there's no accountability because they don't want to make each other look bad. So the guy running the VAR doesn't have the stones to look at your man in the middle and say, listen, like you've made a mistake. Like he pulls out the red and we don't say like, no, it was probably a yellow. Like they don't ever want to disagree with the on-field call. And then if it is something to take a look at, the guy on the field feels like he has to make a call. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of, it's a conspiracy against Manchester United. But this is a problem for like
all around
league-wide. As far as what we saw from Manchester United on Sunday.
Yeah. It was rough.
It was rough. Only because when I was on here last time and it was Liverpool,
that was rough.
That was rough. That was rough also, but at least you could say in that match, we gave that away. Like the goals they scored, we gave that to them.
Right.
From front to back, from minute one to minute 90, they were in our nether regions. You know what I mean? Like they dominated us. We didn't look like creating nothing until, you know, the second half when they basically said, well, we can kind of sit back and, you know, it's all good. And so that's the only time we ever really moved the ball with any, you know, authority, you know, and some of that, and you guys are going to touch on it in your own point. Some of that is, you know, tactically where we're at right now with the spacing and guys being too far apart and we want to play out from the back and inviting pressure, but, you know, no one's there to support each other. There's no triangles. You see every other team play, it's triangles. You watch Manchester United play and we look like, you know, your sister's under 7 IYSO. So it's
clowns.
Like, it's you know. Do I think they're going to sack Ten Hag?
Oh, let's save that.
Let's save that for a little later, okay?
Okay, but you know, he's not helping himself. I agree. I personally think our number one problem lies on the training pitch. Whatever we're doing behind the scenes in Carrington is not working because it's the same mistakes every week. It's non-contact injuries. It's guys looking lethargic. What are we doing on the pitch? And some of this is because like we're not doing sports science like all these other teams have been doing for two decades now, and we're still, you know, with the bucket and the sponge and the magic spray. It's there's levels.
Like when they had Mike Tyson with the rubber ball.
Exactly. And so you know, some of it is we're way behind the times. Like we're Flintstone Stone Age compared to where the other teams have, you know, been allowed to get. And so some of it is that all has to come together, but
You got to get some cutting edge out there.
But as fans, our patience is wearing thin. And the reason why it's Manchester United, they're always going to slag us off in the media. But it hurts us so badly because it's 10 years of it, 12 years of it now, of underachieving, false dawns, false hopes, false promises. And, you know, we're all so traumatized from that. We're like, man, if he loses a couple more games, he's sacked. But in retrospect, I don't think that that's reality right now. But you know, you guys move on. That's my piece for now.
So, you show some growth since the weekend. Yeah,
exactly. See how you let that loss.
I'm impressed.
Let some of that just kind of sit there.
Because he was about to kill people on the weekend.
It's because my gaskets are all blown at this point. They're all blown. Am I happy about where we're at? No. But do I hope that by Christmas time we'll figure it out? Yes. Because to your point, there are good players out there. You know, sometimes you look at them and you go, wow, it's a lot of crap. Like, these are crap. What are, you know, like Rooney showing up 16 years old at Everton. Oh, these are crap. You know, we look at United a couple times and go, whoa.
That's good.
Like, do we sign these players because, they're crap?
It. So I just want to give my take just a little bit because I know you guys kind of touched on it yesterday, and then I'll let you guys take the floor, Casey, and then Sean.
Can you address Mikey's thing about who we are and have him never say that again?
Oh, we are the Dallas Cowboys.
I can't have that. Cancel the show.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. But you know what?
Sean, talk to your boy.
You know what, Casey? I can't. At the same time, that comment hurts. But I understand how that feels because to the outsiders looking in, we do look like the Dallas Cowboys of the Premier League. It's very hurtful to say that, but we kind of have to be realistic, right? We are not in that.
The Dallas can't win shit.
I mean, we kind of
listen, guys.
I mean, my thing. I want to say
we're more the Lakers.
Yeah.
Oh, what the? Yeah. That's more accurate.
Oh my god.
He just threw it up. Turn my mic off.
That's more accurate, though. Lakers.
What was that? No.
Listen.
Let me reel this back in just a little bit, right? Let me just reel it back in.
Reel it back in.
For me, it's a lot of how can you come in to that match and just play out flat right off the bat? You are professional football players that are paid handsomely to produce out there in the pitch, and for you to come out there and give that disgusting performance in the first 10 minutes, right, where they just score on us, they just go through the middle of the pitch like we're not there,
and
we're
non-existent.
It's like we gave them the red carpet. There you go. Get that sitter. Get that 1-0. And then on top of that, that red card, don't even get me started on the fact that they rescinded that. It's like, sorry. After that red card, I'm not going to say that we would have won or tied the game, but we would have had a better shot with Bruno in there, 11 guys, to get at least a tie. But once you took them out, that's it. All hell broke loose. They scored another one. We came in the second half thinking, okay, we're going to at least get a reaction out of them. 10 players on the pitch. We're down 2-0. We need just one goal so we can maybe just make it a game. That did not happen. They scored another goal. Where was the fight? Where was that grit, that's something that's a bare minimum that you should see from your team. I'm not saying this is all on the players. Erik ten Hag also has culpability on the way that he lays out that game plan, where he stretches his midfield way too much. No CDM is looking good out there. We were thinking that Ugarte was going to be that guy to plug in and just play. Unfortunately, that did not happen, and that's not his fault entirely because that's his first Premier League start, getting adjusted to the speed in the Premier League. So it's a combination of both. Erik ten Hag just not putting the correct game plan out there for these players, stretching them out way too much, and these guys just not producing. Delo, he's one of the guys that I've liked, but Delo, come on, he's lollygagging, jogging back there. He was culpable for that first goal. Not just him, but most of these players.
Both the fullbacks got abused.
Garnacho, he's usually good on the ball. He cannot get the ball. He cannot dribble. It was just a horror story out there. Everyone that I was out there at the pub we were just so confused. Yeah, we thought that this was going
to
be exactly representing. Yeah. And the thing is that everyone was just like, this should be Tottenham. This is the team that we're supposed to come out here and win and feel good about ourselves going into the next Europa League against Porto. Unfortunately, that did not happen. And I don't even want to get started with my man Casey over here.
Let's get Sean going first and I'll close it.
Okay. Go ahead, Sean.
I know how Sean feels about the match, but let's hear him say it again.
No, I thought it was fucking atrocious, to be honest with you. I haven't seen United play that bad in a long time.
Facts.
Just to talk buttons on, like, the Liverpool game, you know, okay, we gave two goals away. It, you know, we could have easily done better in that game, but this game felt different. I said yesterday, I was physically depressed after watching that game this weekend, like physically depressed. I was like, I haven't seen United play this bad in so long. And it kind of gets me thinking, we've been struggling last season. You know, we had a few good games at the end of the season. We won the FA Cup, but then we're right back to where we're at in the middle of last season. So if we keep Ten Hag, how are we going to change this if it's not changed in a year and a half? For me, I've always been a guy that's always been, hey, like, look at Arsenal, keep a manager for a couple of years, get his own team, and manage to turn it around. I don't see it. The difference between that is I saw progression in Arteta. I'm not seeing progression under Ten Hag. That's my problem, and that's why I think Ten Hag should leave. I just don't see any progression with him. And, you know, we're talking about the Benny McCarthy comments today where exactly. He's like, the training sessions are atrocious. You know, he only sees a couple of players that are training really hard. So that kind of is showing on the pitch, is it clearly not? So he's clearly telling the truth because it's showing on the pitch.
Exactly.
What kind of tactics is he doing in the training? So if you're not training and they're not learning in training, they're not obviously not going to show it on the pitch, which we are clearly seeing. You know, he had this formation at Ajax, did really well. But let's not forget, this was in the Eredivisie de Vizier. You know, I know he did well in the Champions League, but it's the Eredivisie de Vizier. This is a completely different league. This is way above every other league in the world. And I don't think it's working out right now.
Manchester Mikey, just to get that comment in, said, Ten Hag in. Back the boss.
Ten Haram ball.
It looks like we got your take on it, Sean. Just
we back the boss. So what position in the league do we need to be in?
That's a great
to continue back in the boss.
Like, I respect your point, Sean.
Where are we? We're only 5 points away from the relegation zone right now.
I respect your point, and it looks like we see where you're standing on Eric Ten Hag. Right. Let's get
Casey in here. I echo a lot of things Sean said. Matter of fact, I asked Mikey the same question that you just said. At what point do we say enough is enough? But I don't want to get into that. My reaction from the match is, you guys saw it. I was shocked. What bothered me so much, I had the bad taste from FC 20 when they scored that goal, when the guy drove through us. And the first goal Tottenham did was the same thing. To me, that's troublesome because that should have been a major point going into training after FT. So FC 20. That should have been a major coaching point where the coaches should have been like, we can never give up a goal like that again. Where someone drives through us, get a card, get stuck. Don't let that happen again. And that for that to be the first goal to happen from Tottenham.
In each half.
That I felt like that was very deflating. The Benny McCarthy comments today were very eye-opening. I think it opened our eyes up to what's going on in the training. I don't think it was a flattering article for Eric Ten Hag. The only thing he said good about Eric Ten Hag was
he's tactically
on top.
Yep.
And then he said, but he doesn't have fire or passion.
No spine.
So when Sean and I last night were saying, before this article, we were saying, maybe this team is a reflection of him because he shows no fire or passion on the sideline. He just stands there.
Deer in headlights.
At the pub, everybody was saying, this team doesn't talk to each other. Well, when you watch Eric Ten Hag, he doesn't talk to them. Every gaffer that we play against, they're out there and getting their guys G'd up. The Benny McCarthy thing did not help Eric Ten Hag. Learning about the practice sessions did not help Eric Ten Hag. He even said that, you know, he was allowing, you know, Cristiano was hurt because he works harder than everybody in training, and Ten Hag wouldn't play him. So it's a weird deal. I want to see Eric Ten Hag finish this stuff out, but I don't think he has the capabilities to do it. Now, I'm not saying Eric Ten Hag should be. I'm not Eric Ten Hag. As Mikey says, I'm on the fence because I'm waiting to see that spark. But, guys,
I have a question.
He has 11 more games before December. 11 more games before December. That's a lot of games, and I think by December we will know what's going on. I wasn't happy with the match. I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was a step back. Last week, going into FC 20, we were in the top five for every defensive percentage. Now we're in like 15, 14. We're back to last year. Mm-hmm. It's all falling apart. Why is this happening?
I have a question for you, because you mentioned something that for you was a big thing. The fact that on 20, that one guy just went up and down their pitch and just scored. The same thing happened at Tottenham. You as a player that used to play, right, different sport, but same thing. You used to play at that high level. Would you say that was more of a physical or a mental error on the players?
It's a mental error.
Mental error.
It's not even a mental error.
A mental or a physical error by a coach?
Oh, mental. I mean, when you have guys completely checking out, not playing with, when guys are making mistakes like that, it's either they're thinking too much or they're not ready. And I think it's a combination of both. I think the tactics are too complicated. He needs to simplify it, make his guy play with a little bit more freedom. Don't go out there because nothing looks right. Sinatra said it. The triangle, where is it? The spacing is all wrong. Today they had an article of the center mids who've played for Erik ten Hag, and they've all struggled. Ugarte, he's not even using him to his abilities. Ugarte, he looks crazy.
That sounds like Casemiro right now, making Casemiro look
And then, you know, remember, there's rumors where players were saying,
the man's playing me out of
Casemiro position. Was upset because he said, the man is not helping me play better.
Manchester Mikey, just to get in here really quick, Manchester Mikey.
But that's my opinion.
Ten Hag said he wants to be FC 20 chairman before the match. Says he dreams about it with the eyeballs. Fence Rider FC.
I don't know what that means about him saying he wants to be the chairman of FC 20 before a match.
He had no intentions of winning that game. That's what he's saying right there.
He
didn't want to win that game from the jump.
That's everybody. That's how I feel about it.
So since we're getting into that right now, that conversation is going towards, this is two losses, ugly losses. Not just that, but the fact that we were, when he first came in?
Well, it was a draw and a loss, but it feels like a loss.
It felt like a loss. What, first year he was here, we got top four. Last year, what, eighth? This year.
And let me be clear for everything. That Bruno red card, we were playing like shit before that happened.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, let's speak
absolutely.
Ahead.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And now it looks like we're even regressing even more so than the first season he was here. The first season I was here, I would argue he was playing just to get results. It wasn't really about him trying to bring in a structure or a system.
We are literally about to pull last season Chelsea. We're about to be last season Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Just like dog shit and then like try to pull it out in the end.
And last season, you can argue he was trying to build a structure. First season with, you know, when he's getting his players now. I mean, second season. And we regressed some. We didn't get top four. Now this season, does it feel like we're regressing even further from last season? And what are your thoughts on that? And when it comes to Erik ten Hag.
Really quick.
Go ahead.
Because remember, I'm treating it like a professor. This is school. What are we, 8 exams in all competitions? Because 6 Premier League games, 1 Carabao, and 1 Europa. Yeah? 8 games total. The man is a F for me. It's a failing grade for me right now. But after 8 shocking. Games, like that 7-0... That's Barnsley.
We barely won the first game.
Yeah. Like it's
well,
after.
If it wasn't for Zerski, you know, like sticking his foot out, we would have lost that game too.
Yep. So it's after 8 games, all competitions. Like I'm giving that man an F. Like I'm giving you an F for everything that I've seen collectively. Like an F. Big up Ahmad. Big up Garnacho. Big up Kobe. Big up Onana. De Ligt as well. And you're new to the thing. And Mazwari still. Still our player pickup of the season, still. I know you had a shit game against Spurs too, but like they all did. But yeah, it's an F for me for the season, God, B. God. It's an F. 8 games, F. F grade.
Sinatra, let's go to you.
I think we got to remember what Ragnick said 3 years ago. It's open heart surgery. Like, you know, I get it. You know, it feels like regression. It's not too far off of, you know...
I hate to always be, you know, bring it back around to Sir Alex Ferguson, but he inherited garbage. Ten Hag inherited garbage. And I do think there is some naivety there. He's not completely off the hook from any of it. But I do think that he's had to recreate a whole new team that had no culture, has no direction, has ground that's fallen apart, which we should still keep Old Trafford. I don't care what anybody says. There's nothing wrong with Old Trafford. Let it flood. There's different nothing show. Wrong with Old Trafford. All they're going to do...
Different show.
All they're going to do is add in a couple more hot dog stands and a big LED
don't go there right now.
That no. they're going to have to replace in 20 years.
Stay on target.
Anyway.
Okay. So let's back to Erik ten Hag.
But he's got the hardest job in football. They already did the deep dive in the summer on, is he going to be the manager? We've done this. And what did they come up with? He's the manager.
He's the guy.
If we were going to get Tuchel, they would have hired Tuchel. Mm-hmm. If we were going to get Van Nistelrooy, they wouldn't have said, hey, Van Nistelrooy, come be an assistant manager instead of managing Burnley. I do think they're trying to help Ten Hag. I do think they have a plan. I do think behind the scenes, we're seeing things that we've never seen before because they're having to make up for stuff that was just neglected. It's a neglected, broken team, and it's on its last leg, and someone has to pull them out. But you guess what? We're not going to get – Pep Guardiola could manage this team and not get anything out of it. I think we've got guys that are beaten down because I think they've been through a lot.
Hold on.
And they're still going through a lot, and there's a lot of pressure that comes with, you know,
so
playing
Sinatra,
for this club.
It seems like you're saying I'm still giving Erik ten Hag until December.
We don't
November?
Have a choice. Like, he's not getting sacked if we lose to Aston Villa. Like, it's the club came out and said we're backing the guy. They're not going to. The Glazers have no problem making an ass out of himself and saying we love this guy, and then going and talking to somebody else behind his back. Like, they have no problem. Who's there now? Ineos? I don't think they're going to do Erik like that. Like, I don't feel like they're...
They want to run a proper football
club. I feel like they want to run a proper... Yeah, exactly. Doing this Chelsea kangaroo court BS is not Man United. Changing the manager every 5 minutes because we don't like the football and it's not going well is not going to help us. But there needs to be a lot of things that have to change. But we may finish 11th and... I feel like when they're coming out saying we want to win the league in 2028, they're planning on the next couple of years. It's, you know, they're building from now. We're thinking we've been building for 2 years with Ten Hag, but that doesn't count because that's Glazers. We're building from now. Forget anything else that's happened before. We're building from today.
Got it. Thank you for that, Sinatra. And just to mention some of these comments, Manchester Mikey is clarifying that was a direct quote. I believe he's meaning about Erik ten Hag in his quotes about 20. Then he said, this is to you, Sinatra. Has Sinatra been to Old Trafford? LMFAO. Because ain't no way. All right. So we did get Sean's take a little bit on his take on the game about where he's at on Erik ten Hag. So I'm going to let you take the floor now on that.
Yeah. One small problem where I have with what you said is only two of the players that start against Tottenham were there before him. Only two of those players. Rashford and Delo. That's the only two players that are on that pitch that are not Ten Hag signings. Like, I get the youth academy, you know, Mainu and Garnaccio, but they weren't there at Solskjaer either. So nine of the, you know, those players were there. Like, so my problem is these are the players he wanted. These are the players that played with him under Ajax. Certain, how many has he got now? Four that were at Ajax that know his system. So but the problem was the back line were just as atrocious, and they know how to play together. They know his system. I know De Ligt and Martinez haven't played much together at all, but they still played his system under Ajax. That's my only small problem with that one is he's got what he wants now. And like I said before with the Arsenal thing is, they finished eighth, they finished eighth, they finished fifth, they finished third. We finished third, we finished eighth. I ain't seeing us finishing in the top five this year. Not right now. So we're doing the opposite of what Arsenal did. Like, the only way Ten Hag keeps his job, be, for me personally, beyond Villa, is if we don't get beat 4-0 in both of those games. If we get actually hammered and we play like we did against Tottenham, I think he is seriously in danger. I think if he shows more fight and passion and the team does in the next two games, we, say we lose 2-1 in both one of, both of the games or 1-0, I think he keeps his job.
Yeah.
But if we get blown out and we play a disastrous game like we did against Tottenham, I think then the board might go, okay, it might be time to change this. But that's my only small issue, is like literally 90%, 95% of the team is his team. So, and a lot of these players have played under his system.
And would you say that he's actually building some type of structure or foundation with this team?
Well, I see the foundation. I see the system that he wants to play. Remember, three of the back four know his system. They know how he wants to play. Like, I think one of the issues with is Ugarte. I don't think he wanted. We took me my Casey touched on this last night. I don't think he wanted Ugarte. I think he wanted to keep Scott over Ugarte. So, you know, bringing him in the 70th minute and saying he's not fit when he just played all those games for Uruguay is a problem for me, because now Ugarte is behind, you know, learning the system. So, I don't see anything on the pitch. That's my problem. I don't see any direction on the pitch. You touched on it earlier, the diamond. Every other team is playing this diamond situation, but United are not, and they're just all over the place. It doesn't matter if Cass is in there. It doesn't matter if Eriksen is in there. Ugarte's in there. That midfield looks fucking open. Like, I maybe
that
change
is
the
one
system.
Of my
maybe
arguments.
Change,
that
maybe
is...
change the 4-3-1. Maybe change that. We're
it's
got to
be a double
goals.
Pivot. It's got to be.
That is one of my biggest things. That game, the midfield was almost non-existent.
Yeah.
There was no connectivity from the defenders to the offense to have that game flow. It was just the defenders just
I think Bruno's
throwing it up.
The wrong. Yeah, I think Bruno's the wrong captain.
Oh, wow. Ooh. That's a hot take. Okay, I respect that. I think
the captain should come from the back line.
Martinez or De Ligt?
In this team, the captaincy should come from the back line. Like maybe Martinez. Maybe, I know De Ligt has only just been here, but he's very well known from the teams that he's been at to be the sergeant in the back line.
Yeah. And to be fair, he's come in there and he's...
The captain from the back to yell at the front, to yell at the defensive midfielders, get back here or whatever.
And he looks like he's settled in the Premier League so far. De Ligt.
I think the pressure is getting to Bruno. Look what he's done since he's become captain. He turned into Harry Maguire.
So,
give it to somebody like Martinez, who I feel could handle the pressure.
To me, it was no midfield, and the fact there was no other plan other than just try to beat their high line and get it to the forwards like Rashford or Garnacho, and if that wasn't working well, then what else is...
No other
nothing
option,
else.
No plan.
There was nothing
no
playing it through the midfield. Not using your players to what they're best at. Kabi playing in between spaces instead of him having to cover 50 yards to get a guy or to get a pass. That's one of my things that's just alarming to see from Ten Hag. Get in this, Casey.
I think with his man management skills right now, basically he has played everybody out of form. Ahmad's not in form right now. You would say Rashford's not in form right now.
Who is in form?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Remember
Onana?
Onana? We had a hot Ahmad.
The goalkeeper being in form, that's like a joke.
But I'm
right?
just saying.
Mazraoui? Would you say Mazraoui?
I
mean, besides Tottenham.
Mazraoui.
I thought he was in form until last
year. Yeah, but how long is he going to be in form after dealing with that?
Mm-hmm. The Lowe's playing with a knock. So what's happened here, he's put guys in situations where they're played under stress. They have not been successful. They have not been confident. They've been in...
We still don't have a full team either. We're missing a left back. We're playing DeLow at left back.
That's the one position we're struggling at. But you know, our
full... A lot of positions we're struggling at.
Other position, we got backups.
Right, so let me get this right. We're struggling at left back. Mazraoui has played at left back at Bayern. He played there at Ajax, but we continue to put DeLow at left back.
Why
can't DeLow go to his natural position at right back and play Mazraoui at left?
Yeah.
Come on, like, I'm not a manager, and I can figure that one out. He's clearly played left back at all of the other clubs he's played at, but no, you want to put DeLow at left back, where he clearly can't handle the position.
Is he just stubborn to a fault?
Ten Hag.
It's a benefit.
I feel it's deeper than that. I feel someone told me today, and I forgot who it was, and they said, oh, Beto. He says he doesn't think Ten Hag is under pressure, so we should wait it out. I think he's on tremendous pressure.
Oh, was it the quote that Barada said about the 2028 and the winning the English Premier League because of the
I can't remember what his response
was. So because of that, 2028, that's what they're looking forward to. That
so you say he's not under pressure to win?
Time. Yeah, has all this
he doesn't time have just all that time. I think Ten Hag is suffering from a lot of pressure. I think he's kind of lost himself under the whole – because you got to understand, guys – before the FA Cup victory, it was Eric Ten Hag out.
It was out.
It was Eric Ten Hag. And like I said to Sean last night, all that good vibes from that FA Cup is gone. Because now what did we wake up today? There's coaching. Ineos is thinking about getting coaches. And I know we shouldn't rely on what the media is saying, but every topic, every journal – except
the leaks are back.
The leaks are back. I forgot that. The leaks are back. Lori Whitwell and Andy Minton are the only guys who weren't saying Eric Ten Hag, there's going to be a new, he should lose his job. Every other media outlet was on it. And I'm not saying that matters, but that stirs up the masses. Now we got.
The masses are always stirred up when they're talking about Man United.
But I'm saying he's under pressure.
He's under pressure no matter what. It's that. That's my whole point. Is it's nonstop when it's when you're the manager, like when you're that manager.
When you have performances like Tottenham, you're not helping yourself.
I get that, but the whole point is, when we're talking about these players come and they know his system, they don't know Manchester United. Ajax is not Manchester United. There's a whole other level. Like what we're missing at this club is the culture that we had before.
Oh,
and it's
Jesus
all
Christ.
Gone. It's all gone, and that's not going to happen.
That's not coming
tomorrow.
Back.
We're not getting that back. You know what I mean?
I think we take for granted what we had. That shit is special. You can't just recreate
it's,
that.
Well, it's never going to be like that again. We have to understand that we're not going to win, you know, 13 Premier Leagues in, you know, 20 years. Like that kind of stuff is gone. But being a competitive team that's
City might do it.
City? Oh, yeah, we know how they do it.
I don't even want to get
it. You know
that.
What? If we had the structure like City
fans.
Had, and because we wouldn't need to have shell corporations and all that stuff to do what City's done. If we had proper football people from the day Sir Alex Ferguson left and quit just doing little quick fixes, going, okay, David Moyes didn't work out. Okay, Van Gaal, oh, we didn't like him. Oh, Jose Mourinho, he'll win a couple of trophies and get us kicked off. That's been the mentality for years.
Let me ask you a question. What's stopping Eric Ten Hag from having his culture right now? Because
time. This is it. I think, like I was saying before, it's to Ragnick's point.
Yeah, but
it's open heart surgery. I don't think he can come in. And I'm with you. I'm with you. I want these guys to click now, but I just don't think it's reality. Like I think we're so far down the other end. Like I think we've only won trophies.
Why though?
I think we've won trophies and things despite ourselves.
Let me ask you this in a different way.
Like that's what I mean by false dawns and false hopes. We're looking at we won the FA Cup. Like we have something to kick on about. Like that.
All the players who are on this squad right now, I think there's only two that haven't at least been with him for 2 years or longer. Zerski and Ugarte. Rashford's been there 2 years. Garnacho's been there 2 years. De Ligt's been there with him. Knows his system for 2 years. Mazzarri knows his system. Delo knows his system for 2 years. Casemiro knows his system for 2 years. Onana knows his system more than 2 years.
I don't care about
so
this.
So why is it hard for them to get his principles and his content?
Because it's a different league.
I don't think he's playing the same system at Ajax.
Okay.
And it's a totally different league. It's a totally different experience. It's a totally different everything. And you know what? Ten Hag came to this club a bit unprepared for what he was getting involved in because Ajax is not as big a club as Man United is. And so there's a lot of factors to it. It's not one thing that you can – pinpointed on and say that's the reason that we're struggling. It's on the pitch. It's front office. It's culture. It's every bit of it. And whoever said, "Oh, has Sinatra been to Old Trafford?" You can come see me anytime, Mr. Plastic. Come see me to my face anytime. anytime.
Let that go. Let that go.
You got riled up with that comment.
I see my face.
I haven't been to Old Trafford. I haven't been to Old Trafford.
Yeah, but it's always these little plastic that have that little joke. Oh, you haven't had the hot dog at Old Trafford. I had because I wore my shirt. You know what? You were an ugly American, and I bet you every man wanted to rob you.
Wow, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
You probably made an ass out of yourself.
Calm down.
Family stand twice.
Calm down.
My question to you is though, both player for player, do we not have the better squad player for player than Tottenham?
Yes.
Then why did we lose?
Well, culture.
I'm gonna say the big one, balls. Now the balls. Okay.
Yeah. And have the balls. Does that come down to the players or does also the coach?
Comes down to the coach. I agree with what Benny McCarthy is saying. He needs to be on that. Do you know what? I wish he was an ounce of what Arsenal have on that sideline. Yeah, they changed the rules to deal with Arsenal's coach. Kick some fucking balls and start yelling at your players on the side of the field. Because when you do that, it's showing the players that you give a shit. Then it gives, oh, I see the fans see that the coach gives a shit. When you're standing there with your hands in your pockets in the pouring rain, and you look like you have not a clue that what is going on, and Darren then you make substitutions, and it goes, oh, well, he clearly doesn't know what's going on the field. Because you're standing there, like, what's going on? It'd be no different if he'd been sent off and sent to the stands for 3 games. Like, show some balls. I don't care whether it's on the field or whether it's in training. Start yelling at these players.
Sean, so
that's what I wanted to say to that. I'm not always like this big body language guy, but at the same time, do you not have passion to keep your damn job and say, what the hell are you doing? Come back and track back.
Or just stay, that. Chew just, it exactly. by the substitutions. Chew it by the start of the game. Bruno, you're not playing well. You're done. Off.
Exactly. That is the biggest thing. Like, I told that to Sinatra on Sunday.
Deal with that shit? No. Get off. Rashford, you're not playing well. Get off.
Yeah.
Exactly. I told that to Sinatra.
Because it shows a precedent in the game.
You're not
playing well. We're going to take you off. But the other players see that Bruno's undroppable. Rashford's undroppable. Okay, so they're playing shit. Why should I have to play up my ass? Because I'm going to play the next game anyway. The minute you start dropping people like your captain, you take them off. What did Fergie do to his captain of 12 years? Get out the club. Get out the club. You're done. I don't like your comments. Get out the club. Drop him.
That's
drop
true.
Drop Rashford. I don't care if you are God himself. If you're playing shit, get off the field. Because then it sends a precedent to the rest of the team. If you play crap, you're done. But why can't he do that?
He doesn't have those balls because
he doesn't have the balls.
Exactly, because that's what I was telling Sinatra. Does he not have that personality in him to just go up to Bruno and say, Bruno, you're not starting today.
You're not starting today.
You're not informed. You're not playing today. You know what? At the 60th minute, you're coming off the pitch. You're playing crap. I mean, for as much as we hate City, Pep does that with his players. He'll take the best player out the pitch. He won't have them start. No questions asked. Everyone respects the boss. Let me just get into.
If Haaland didn't play, if he didn't score and he wasn't playing well for 5 games, you think Pep's going to keep him on that pitch? No. He's going to get off.
Exactly. Let me get to some of these comments.
Good Alvarez was last year, and they were like, "Okay, you want to go by?" Okay.
Exactly. That's what the mentality we need to get, not just on the front office, but with the coach as well. Everyone fall in line.
Well, that's what you know that he's saying about the culture. He's like, you need that in the dressing room. Like, I don't care if he kicks a boot and hits someone in the head and makes them bleed. Like, I don't care. Bring back that factor where we are Man United. If you play shit, you're done.
Let me say one thing real quick.
Before I go to the
Sean,
comments.
That Benny McCarthy article did not, I'm with you, that did not help Erik ten Hag, and it opened my eyes up to what's going on with this team.
Open up your eyes. All right, let's get some of these comments over here. We are a cup team. Shout out Manchester Mikey. That's what a lot of us were saying at the pub halfway through the game. We're just a cup team. I'll say it to your face.
Yeah,
LOL.
See me.
LOL. See me. Chicken breast gangster.
See me.
So
see
you
me,
ain't,
plastic boy.
So you ain't been there and seen the rats and the leaks.
I see the rat. Oh, man. I see the rat on there right now.
I can already see a show with Manchester Mikey and Sinatra together. Lovely and harmony. So we got a little under 6 minutes to just discuss a little bit more about what we believe we'll see the next few days in Europa and on the weekend, and what we think what would happen if we do not get the results that we are hoping for. So let's start off first with Casey.
What I think I'm going to believe? What are we going to see?
What do you think we're going to see?
I don't think, after today's article, what I read, I don't think we are ready. I don't think Erik ten Hag has the time to fix it by Porto. If we struggle with, and I don't like to say this, if we struggle with FC 20, we're going to struggle with Porto. I'm sorry. This team, I understand why this team doesn't have fight and passion. I don't know if Benny McCarthy's lying, but he told us everything I needed to hear. Because when we see that team play like that, I just feel it's a reflection of our culture. Honestly, I'm going to go with two draws. A draw against Porto and a draw against Villa, just to keep my sanity, because I refuse to say we're going to lose.
You're next.
All right.
Just based on this show alone, you're not going to develop or cultivate fight and grit
getting beat up.
Shit that we're asking for overnight.
No.
We haven't seen it the whole time Ten Hag's been here. That's been my beef with him the whole time. It's like getting your players to react, getting a reaction out of your players. So we're getting twatted. We're getting twatted by Porto, and we're getting twatted by Villa.
So you think it's...
Two L's coming up.
It's going to depend a lot on what United shows up. You know, the team is capable of turning this around. Ten Hag is capable of turning this around, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot of things behind the scenes, and I agree that.
What day do we play Porto?
Thursday. I agree that Bruno is an unfit captain. I do think that armband is heavy. Just like the 7 shirt is heavy. It's just, it's a different, you're playing for a totally different team. It's just, there's a weight to it. And I don't care what players played at what team for what manager. It's different when you walk through those doors at United. And if you think any different, then you've not been watching this team. Like, you've not been watching us for decades, because that's what it is. What are we going to see at the
Thursday? So do you see a loss and a win, or both losses over the weekend?
I think we win both games.
Hey. Okay. Positive. I like that positivity.
But I think we have to change the lineup.
I like that positivity. And my take would be... It's pretty bleak, but I think we're going to come away with the win against Porto 1-0, because we can't score more than one goal. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to score one against Porto. And then over the weekend... I'm a little bit of a pessimist. I was thinking we're going to be 3-0, but now after listening to all you guys, we might end up losing 2-1.
That's We don't have
That's just me being the pessimist.
Go
to your take, Sean.
We don't do
well. Manchester Mikey. I don't know if I can say this over the way.
Like, we're going to come out fighting.
Okay.
I thought that after the Liverpool game. I thought that after the 20 game.
Exactly. Yeah.
I am not falling for that trap again.
Yeah.
I go...
Facts.
Depending... Like, I will say this. If Man United don't come out and perform at all, I think he's... I 100% agree that he's lost the dressing room.
Yeah.
If they come out and show some kind of resilience, passion... And he changes. I think he really needs to change the formation. This formation is not working for him. But he needs to do something for me to kind of, you know, go up. But overall, I think we lose 2-1 to Porto.
Wow.
And I'd be sure. And I think Garnaccio is going to get the goal, because I don't see anybody else getting a goal for Man United.
Okay. Fair point.
That's a very fair point. Oh, so it looks like you are more so Erik ten Hag out.
No,
I'm talking about Sean.
Yeah, like right now, I hope to God I am wrong.
I was defending him, but it is so hard.
My passion, my anger is just, it's still there from the weekend. Like,
Very hard to defend him over the weekend.
Mikey said 3-0.
Yeah, I did see Mikey 3-0. He did say one more comment. I'm still debating whether to say that. Can't wait, American Glenn. We'll save that for another episode. This is something I usually don't. Yeah, I don't want to get into that too much. That's a little deeper into the art for with us. But all I want to say is that something I usually don't do. But after that loss, I just had to get away from that. Go drink up until midnight, and I just could not handle that. It was just very, very depressing. We got a minute left. Anything you got going on, Sean?
No, just come in and tune into the show on Thursday because we'll be live right after the game. Well, a couple of hours after the game, but yeah. Tune in to United Fan
Zone. That's going
to
be a fun show.
That will be a fun show. Catch United Fan Zone 24. Glenn, damn.
Damn.
You're going to cut that up. You're going to cut that up.
Damn.
Oh, my goodness. With Sean and maybe Mikey.
You owe Sean a drink when he comes out here.
I owe you a drink. I owe you a drink, Sean. Shout out to everyone. It's been a great show.
Sinatra, thank you, Bean Park.
Oh, my God.
I love the show.
Yeah. Thank you, Sinatra, for joining us. As always, Cheese, Casey, it's been another episode of
Shout out to LA Talk Radio, United Fan Zone 24, LA Reds, Pittsburgh Reds, Atlanta Reds. Well, maybe not Atlanta. Sean, Mikey, congratulations.
And let's give a shout out to Mikey, right before. Congratulations, Mikey.
Big congrats.
Varsity sucks. Georgia Bulldogs suck. The Yellow Jackets suck. All right. The Hawks suck. And the Braves suck.
Last but not least, www.meninblazers.com /bestbars. Go vote for O'Brien's Irish Pub. Best soccer bar in America.
One love. Thank you, Sam.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Jeremy
We can't be having that flipping the birds though on the YouTube, bro. We can't have that.
I don't care. I don't do. I don't.